We're live. Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the February 22nd, 2021 meeting of the University City Council to order at 6:30. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Kusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. Before you have the agenda during the study session, it was noted that under item L4A, the reopening of city facilities, the item was requested actually by Council Members Clay and Smotherson. So I'm sure that Ms. Reese will correct the agenda. Thank you for that. Are there any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none, those in favor of the agenda as proposed, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you a proclamation for Supermarket Employee Day, which I'm sure all the members of council will sign based on Ms. Reese being able to get that around to us. And again, to I think all of us, since we've gone through the past year, do recognize how important all of our supermarket employees have been to help get us through this crisis, and that they put their lives on the line every day as they take care of us and all those around us. So thank you very much to our supermarket employees. You have before you the January 25th study session minutes regarding the conditional use permit. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the February the 8th study session minutes of bond project and refuse interest policy. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the February the 8th regular meeting of the City Council minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Mm-hmm. Motion made by Mr. Kusick, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Under boards and boards and commissions, I would like to appoint Cynthia Martin to the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Board. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Please note that Cherise Harris was sworn in the Arts and Letters Commission on February the 9th, and Andrea Lubershane was sworn into the Stormwater Commission on February the 11th. We did receive a number of citizen comments prior to today's cutoff. And again, to all of our citizens, thank you very much for providing your input to us on the decisions that we will be discussing tonight and in the future. You have before you now the consent agenda. There are four items on the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. There's seconded by Mr. Kusick. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Unfinished business. We have bill number 9425. Let's see. May we have the second reading?
An ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as Crown Center Subdivision of Delcrest and located at 8348 through 8350 Delcrest Drive.
Thank you. May we have the third reading?
An ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as Crown Center Subdivision of Delcrest and located at 8348 through 8350 Delcrest Drive.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion on bill number 9425? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. The bill is passed. We'll now move into new business, bill number 9426. Who would like to introduce? Introduced by Mr. Smotherson. Madam Clerk, may we please have the first reading?
An ordinance amending section 230.130 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to delinquent refuse collection fees, collection policies, and hearing and appeal.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to council reports and business. Prior to moving into the discussion portion, are there any board and commission appointments or items from any of your commissions that you would like to share with members of the council or the public during tonight's session?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you. I'd like to make a comment about the new roars that I believe residents should start receiving. And I would like to draw their attention to page 5. The Commission on Stormwater Issues has a full page spread on page 5 of the roars. We'd like to draw residents' attention to that because we need information on concerning historic flood events in University City. So if residents have had any type of experience with flooding or extreme rainwater or rain runoff, please look at that page. And if you can help us out, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Any other commission reports from members of council? Ms. Klein.
I met with the senior commission this week and we discussed ways that we can facilitate better communication with seniors in our community, not just about what's going on in the city, but also about support services that they can get connected with. And I just kind of want to send out a reminder to everyone in the community to be aware of the seniors in your neighborhood. And, you know, I think it's been a hard year for the seniors in our community and in the whole world. They've been kind of isolated. So just something that I hope that we can be mindful of.
Thank you. You know, it was interesting today. I saw a post that showed a seniors that were in a assisted living facility playing. They had large tic-tac-toe made of masking tape, if you will, or tape on their windows. And they had children on the outside playing the X and the seniors on the inside were playing the O's, which I thought was a very unique way to help engage and yet have people spend some time together. So I think maybe Gregory and I could also add that to one of our many discussion points that we'll have when we give the state of the city address during the first part of March. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. Mayor Crow, I wanted to add something to council reports to the section, because I wanted to make sure I got this out of the way. I did attend the Municipal League Legislative Conference on the 9th and 10th of this month. And I just wanted to make a quick report on that. It was a crazy day because it was snowing each day. So I attempted to get there in the morning, but I was literally driving down Highway 70 watching accidents happen. So I turned around and went home. Then I changed my mind and I decided to go back in the afternoon and the roads were clear, perfectly clear. So again, I did make it to the conference. There were things that I missed, but I tried to listen to as much of it as I could on my radio because I had a link that was going in and out. Okay, I'll get to the report. Some things that I did catch, you know, in part of the thing, I wanted to say this. It's very interesting that our Secretary of State, J. Ashcroft, wants to is very interested in reducing elections. And I'm not sure if you're aware of that. He wants to reduce them down to one. There's just not any legislation right now in the works that he likes. But just to kind of let you know what our state is thinking about, He likes the fact that he wants to try to save money and reduce all elections to one. I don't know if that's going to ever happen, but just wanted to give you that piece of information very quickly. What I was going to say is that let the city manager know, please be aware that there may be more CARES money, and I've mentioned this to you before, City Manager Rose, that there may be more CARES money, CARES Act money available after June 30th, because there are municipalities that aren't spending that money, and they're required to either have a good reason to spend it and or use that money by June 30th of this year. If that does not happen, they have to return it back to the state, and then either the governor or the legislative group will have to make a decision on what to do with that money. There may be more CARES Act money available after June 30th. So I wanted to get that out of the way. Another thing shocked me to death. I don't know if anybody is aware or have seen it. Did you know that there are slot machines in gas stations? And some people are shaking their heads. Yes, there are slot machines, video game gambling machines in gas stations, and they could be coming our way. The reason that's happening is because there is no law against or for slot machines. The casinos are furious. They don't want it at all. So there's several bills that are in the works right now to try to limit that, either restrict it, control it, or eliminate that. So I just wanted to let you guys know. I literally went to Kingdom City, went into the gas station to use the restroom, and there were two slot machines right there in Kingdom City. Couldn't believe it, but that's what's in the works. And they talked about that. The last thing that I will say, and this again is for our city manager, but also for the city to be aware, the Governor Parsons mentioned one thing that I thought was very relevant to you city, and that is there is infrastructure funding that the state is offering. If you are doing an economic development project, the state will give you money for streets. They will give you money for infrastructure. If you just want to improve your streets, he says, forget it. You're not going to get any money for that. But if you are developing and you want infrastructure funding, there is funding available. And that's very important, I think, for us to know. So, and that is the end of my report.
We're all impressed not only with your report, but with your dedication to make two trips, if you will. Wow.
I was bored to death. I had to get out of the house.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is anyone else? Hearing nothing, I will now turn it over to a reopening of city facilities as requested by Council Members Clay and Smotherson. Are we starting this with Mr. Rose, or how's this working?
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, this item was placed on the agenda at the request of Council Members Clay and Smotherson. I believe that there were some questions with regards to the opening of Centennial Commons in particular, and perhaps other facilities. So I have Mr. Dunkel on with us, and we're happy to respond to any questions that you might have.
And I'll let Council Members Clay go ahead and start.
Obviously COVID has compromised facilities around our area and frankly around the country. We have noticed, I think, in this community that other communities are opening up to various degrees. And we know in some circumstances there are different demographics and different circumstances, but we are seeing an opening across St. Louis County within the prescribed guidelines. And certainly we know we have citizens who are eager to take advantage of the amenities that the city's offers, Centennial Commons. Folks are eager to be able to do, to transact business in a typical way at City Hall. And so wanted to get an update on our facilities reopening and also planning for our spring and summer offerings. The pool, we know we just don't clearly make just a decision and open the pool. It takes several months of planning ahead of when the pool is to actually open. Some of our other sports and other activities take several months of planning before the decision is made to open them. So wanted to get an update on that planning as well.
I could share with you just very briefly with regards to Centennial Commons, the pool, and City Hall, and then I'll turn things over to Mr. Dunkel to fill in anything that I missed. I authorized a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that based upon the trend of the positivity rate in St. Louis County, as well as the increased effort relative to vaccinations, that I'd authorize the hiring and rehiring of furloughed individuals as well as part-time people in order to move or advance in the opening of Centennial Commons as well as the pool. You may recall this was several months ago that you approved a contract that would enable us to use a contractor for the management of the pool this summer. So I know that Darren is in the process of identifying, you know, what employees are still interested in working for the city that were furloughed, and bringing those individuals back in coordination with our human resources department. As it relates to the pool operation, I know that he is working with the contractor to ensure that that is a smooth process. Once we look to open, I believe it's Memorial Day, but Mr. Dunkel will comment on that in just a second. As it relates to City Hall is clearly our central nervous system, just using an analogy. When you talk about the organization, we really have opened up City Hall on a limited basis. I think we do it maybe 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours each workday, so Monday through Friday, so that we can residents that are not able to conduct business via the internet have the option of actually coming in, the residents, developers, and so forth. That process, as I understand it, has worked pretty well for us thus far. I'm a bit reluctant to open up City Hall completely because of the threat that still exists regarding contracting the coronavirus and the potential introduction of the coronavirus into the City Hall environment unnecessarily. But I think it's really a question of what is it that we're trying to achieve, perhaps that we're not achieving, and then we can look to make some adjustments once I know more about that. So I would turn it over now to Mr. Dunkel. Did I miss anything on the Centennial Halls as well as the pool?
And actually, Mayor Crow, I don't know if I need to be formally recognized. I had a follow-up question for the city manager.
I understand. You'll get your follow-up question. Is Mr. Dunkel still going to reply to the first question? Or Mr. Rose, do you?
Yes, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss anything.
Stacy, then we'll come back to your follow-up.
Okay.
Mr. Rose, Mayor Crow, members of council, basically right now staff is looking at our staffing needs for the reopening of Centennial Commons and Humans Park Pool, as Mr. Rose has stated. We're reaching out to those furloughed individuals to see who is available to come back and wants to come back to work. We're also looking at some of our part-time staffing, trying to find out the same things. We have also, since we furloughed employees, I guess back last late March or April, one of the individuals has left the city's employment and found employment elsewhere. That position has been advertised. We're receiving applications for that position. And so we're working on the staffing and the staffing needs. Also, based on the lessons that we have learned by talking to other municipalities who have similar-like facilities and have reopened, we have put together a rough draft of an opening plan to move forward and along the St. Louis County's guidelines for reopening fitness centers. That is a moving target that seems to change quite a bit, but we keep up to date with that and what we need to do, and we're working on making those adjustments with our facilities as of right now as we move forward. And as to the pool, we have met with our pool contractor. They operated several other pools in the St. Louis area this last summer, so getting some of the lessons that they've learned of what worked and didn't work, and we're formulating a plan on the reopening of the pool as well.
If you have any other questions, I'm here to answer.
Mr. Clay.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm getting in. I apologize. I had a question about, so essentially the barrier to opening Centennial Commons is staffing. It's not we're closing down, we're keeping it closed because of COVID. If staff were to magically appear tomorrow, we would be open in an appropriate way, of course, tomorrow.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I think when the COVID pandemic started, we had some discussions about, you know, the timing for the reopening of our facilities. And I believe at that point I indicated that we would look to get to around 5% positivity rate within St. Louis County, and then start reopening some of the facilities based upon the threat being lessened for the contraction of the virus. That positivity rate today is at 6.7%. So I believe that by the time that we have the staffing in place that's needed to open a facility, the positivity rate will be where we had projected, which is around 5% or less for opening Centennial Commons and primarily Centennial Commons at this point.
And so do we, I know staffing is not an exact science, I understand that, but do we have a sense of when that might, we might be staffed up?
Councilmember Clay, anytime that we have to hire new staff in, it's a 2 to 3 month process of by the time that you advertise, you review the applications, you go through the interview process, they give their notification to their current employer, those sort of things, and get some training. So anywhere between a 2-3 month process is the usual time frame to doing that. Right now, on the recreation side of things, I only have two full-time employees at the current time, and I'll be losing one of those at the end of the week, so we'll be down to one. And so we're trying to fill those that position as well. So we're trying to hire on many fronts, not just for Centennial Commons and for the pool. We're also trying to hire full-time staff and part-time staff at the golf course. And so trying to keep the golf course up and running as well, because right now we're going to, starting Sunday, I'm going to have 50 to 60 hours a week that right now we have to fill to operate with that. Talking about the staffing, could we open Centennial Commons tomorrow? No, because there's still some things that we have to do based on the St. Louis County guidelines, and we haven't been able to do that because we haven't had the staffing to do some of those things, but we can get there, and we're working on all those preparations as we speak.
Will they, are there different aspects of Centennial Commons that can open at different times just based on the different level of services that are different aspects of the facility? Or is this kind of going to be a all or nothing proposition?
Mayor Crowe, that what we were looking at our initial opening is that we'd have it limited basically just to the fitness areas at this time and the track. As we move forward and we get the staff accustomed and our patrons accustomed to some of the COVID protocols, and we continue to grow with our staffing, that we will be able, depending on what the St. Louis County guidelines are at that time, we would be looking to open slowly the gymnasium and get into our fitness rooms to do the programming and those sort of things. So it would be a phased approach as we move forward.
And then most of the employees that I think we always like to rehire, if at all possible, most of the employees that we put on furlough have either found other employment or they are choosing not to come back?
Mayor Crowe, members of council, out of the 3 full-time people that we had furloughed at Centennial Commons, one has already found other employment and we have advertised to fill that position. The other two, one has stated that she wants to come back. We're just working on a date for that individual to come back, and we're still waiting on the other one to give us an answer on if she would like to come back, and if so, the timing as well.
I would like to share with you
staff.
I was just going to share with you one of the employees that we furloughed, we actually brought back in a different department. So one, our process is that for any time we have a hire, we look to those individuals first. Unfortunately, we were able to hire one in a different department. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And as to the part-time staffing, we're reaching out to those who had worked with us previously to see who's interested and could they work the hours that we need in the work. If not, we also have ads out, you know, announcing those jobs and trying to fill those as well.
Okay. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I want to make sure that I get answers to all of what I want to talk about. And that is Commons opening, which I think, I'm really trying to understand this. My preference would be April 1st. And I'm trying to understand why we can't open April 1st. And the reason I say that is because if we are attempting to open the pool on May 28th or May 30th or whatever date that might be, there's a process. I mean, meaning that process is you've got people that are going to sign up, enroll, and all of that has to be done prior to that opening date, or unless you're talking about having it all happen on that date. Because if that happens on that date, then we're halfway through the summer before that's actually a completed process. So again, when I say April 1st, I'm actually talking about Centennial Commons, because I'm really not sure why this is a 2 to 3 month process to hire anybody. And then if that's the case, why weren't we prepared prior to this? Because the frustration that I have for the city, for the people that actually use those facilities in the parks, is that we will have a summer of no one on the fields. We will have a summer of no programming, of absolutely nothing. One of those things that I think is absolutely critical is baseball. Do we have a person that is actually helping to register anybody for baseball? Because they're registering for baseball right now. Or is it that we're just going to ignore that altogether? Because if we have an opening of May 28th, that means that we're eliminating a month of April and May for baseball. So I'm literally worried about that not happening this summer when there's no reason for it to happen, because it's being addressed with a lot of other municipalities and cities. So, and then the last part of what I wanted to say, so that I can get answers to all of what I want to talk about, is the rules and regulations that were approved September 15th. And two parts of that is this. When did that go before the Parks Commission, and was that ever presented to the council? I don't believe it was, because these are policies and procedures that are affecting our citizens and our residents. And I'd absolutely like to know how that was enacted to the point where you're almost literally saying to our citizens, we don't want you in the park. So again, I'm talking about insurance requirements, waiver requirements. So if those questions can be answered, I'd really like an answer to those questions, please.
Sure. Happy to respond to those issues. And again, I'll have Mr. Dunkel fill in anything that I'm missing. As it relates to the opening of Centennial Commons by April, I don't see a path forward for that. I think that we've indicated the time period that we believe that it will take in order to staff up to open Centennial Commons in a safe manner where people can actually use the facility. As it relates to our process, one of the things that I would ask that you keep in mind is it's difficult managing a pandemic. In fact, I would say that it probably manages us more than we managing it. In December, I indicated that the COVID positivity rate in St. Louis County is now 6.7%. In December, it was 22%. So the likeliness of us being able to open the facilities up under that scenario was pretty minimal. But once we began to see the trend go down, then we started looking at how can we align the opening of Centennial Commons with the positivity rate of about 5%, which is what we're attempting to do at this point. Are we going to hit it exactly? Probably not. But I think that we'll do a very good job with being able to open it. And just remember, our goal is not to simply open, it's to open in a safe manner so that we don't do anything that would facilitate coronavirus from spreading. So I would say that was one. With regards to the waiver as well as the insurance requirements that we have, we're operating currently up under an emergency declaration. And one of the things that we've tried to do is we've really worked hard at trying to minimize the city's liability as it relates to potential suits that could occur from the use of our facilities, not necessarily the sponsorship programs that we have, but the use of our facilities where we lease those out to other agencies or organizations that perhaps did not follow the county guidelines. So what we've said is that you are welcome to use our facilities or rent them, lease them, but you have to say that we are indemnified from COVID, basically lawsuits. So you organization need to indemnify the city from that. So we don't want that exposure. So that is mostly just an administrative, how we are implementing the policies that you have, especially up under an emergency type of situation. Now, if you would like for those things to go before the Planning Commission or the council, we're more than happy to do that. But they are more administrative in nature. I was just going to have Mr. Dunkel chime in to make sure I covered everything.
Go ahead. Mr. Rose, I believe you covered everything, how we got to the point to where we're at with the waivers from a liability standpoint. And the insurance has been a requirement for years. It hasn't always been enforced or followed. However, the insurance covers up to the city's limits of sovereign immunity from Missouri state laws. And so that's just a requirement. And this is consistent with what other municipalities require for insurance as well.
So you're saying that a small team, a team of 15 players or whatever, just a baseball team, not necessarily connected with any organization, but, you know, of course, they all are part of some organization, that if they want to practice on the U City field, they not only have to sign waivers giving their address for each player and also have insurance up to $3 million. Is that correct?
Councilmember Smotherson, the insurance would be covered by their organization that their team is a part of.
Well, Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Pro Tem Smotherson, if you're simply referring to a group of kids want to come out and have a pickup game on our fields, that's very different than an organized organization that wants to lease our fields and have that exclusively. So if a group of kids, they're the first ones there, they want to play on the fields, you know, they're certainly welcome to that. And in those instances, no, I think that there's a certain amount of liability that we as a city have accepted when those occur. Now that's different than when you have an organized sport that's saying we want to exclusively have your fields at a certain time and we want to have only our participants on there on those fields at this point. So that's when the insurance kicks in as well as when the waivers kick in.
May I ask a question? And I don't want to prolong this any longer. I mean, I want to let somebody else ask the questions, and I do see that. I just find it interesting. I'm just kind of curious, how do we enforce that? That's a question that doesn't have to be answered right now. What I will say is this, the answer to your question about, yes, I think this should go before the council, because I think it's an important enough issue that we have a discussion on this and talk about this, because it's not something that I'm in complete agreement with, but I think it should have been brought and should be talked to, approved. I think right now, what you have out there right now should be rescinded and then talked about and approved by the council. So that's, and I'm hoping that the council will take that up and then and have a discussion about this and then have an approval of this policy because of the effect that it will have.
Ms. Klein.
Yeah, I just want to add on to what Wayne said, that I agree that we should discuss this as a council. I've watched the sports programs in U-City for, you know, over 10 years now. And most of the people that facilitate this program are volunteers. In fact, all of them are. And I've watched coaches, you know, donate their own money so that at-risk kids can play, or kids that wouldn't have that opportunity can join in these teams. And they're really, I mean, their resources are really stretched to the limit. I think that these programs are an amazing way to connect different populations in our community. And I think that we should do all that we can to help facilitate these and to make it as easy as possible for them to operate. I think my understanding from these new guidelines is that they're additional, they're not things that either, if they were there, they weren't enforced before. So, you know, in addition to being stretched to their limits before, I think this is going to, you know, be something that may make it too difficult for them to, you know, to do this. You know, one thing they can go to Olivet and get a field, but can all the students that we want to participate in this program get to Olivet? You know, can they get transportation to Olivet to, you know, to go to their practices that they need to go to? And you know, I would hope that we can have more of a discussion on this so that, you know, we can figure out a way for our kids to practice in our own community. And so that's just what I wanted to say.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I have a question and then a comment. The question's probably a pretty quick answer. Are we talking about city-sponsored athletic activities for youth sports, or leasing to private or nonprofit teams and organizations not officially sponsored by the city?
Mr. Honorable Mayor, Councilmember House, as I understand it, the organization that we typically work with is the school district. Now, there may be other organizations as well, and I'd ask Mr. Dunkel to respond to that.
We have a number of groups that use our athletic fields, and as Mr. Rose has stated, the school district uses a number of our facilities, from athletic fields to tennis courts. We also have private nonprofit youth organizations that use our fields as well.
Okay, and just as a follow-up, and this is sort of anecdotal, but you know, I volunteered and coached kind of a high level, high school age competitive baseball. We always had insurance. I'm a little confused that the insurance issue seems to be somewhat of a surprise. You know, not only did our team have insurance, but all the other teams we played against had insurance. I don't know if this applies to 5 and 6 year olds, but when you're talking about, you know, American Legion Baseball, SLABA, Metro Collegians, I would be shocked if those organizations and those individual teams don't have insurance as a requirement. To me, this is just not news. So I'm a little surprised by it. And then as far as the, you know, the COVID, I think Councilman Smotherson mentioned something about needing the names of the various names and addresses of the various players. You know, I've gone out and dined out rarely, but when I go out, there's one particular place I've been to, I have to fill out a card that says what my name is, what my contact information is. That's just contact tracing. That's not any kind of indemnification for where I'm going. So, I think I think that in the environment, my gut reaction is in the environment we're living in. I think that that's not an unreasonable thing to ask for.
A couple of things I would say, and if I can, I'm going to take it away from the exact specific issue that we're talking about here, just for one moment. That'd be, we all probably struggled as we went into the pandemic as to how we were going to address what needed to be pulled back and how we were going to keep everybody safe. I think it's safe to say that this is a good example of we are going to struggle as we think we are exiting the pandemic on how we return to services and how we keep everybody safe. So I think there is going to be a healthy tension throughout this process as to how we move forward. I am scratching my head a bit with the citizen comments because I'm not as familiar with all of the different entities that want to use us. I clearly understand Ms. Klein's comments about it's kind of, you do scratch your head if you can go to Olivet and get a field, but you can't get one in U City. But you also could go to Clayton maybe and use the Clayton Center right now and not ours, but I also understand why that's the case. So I think as we move forward through this, I think we all need to give each other a little bit of a wide berth as we're trying to come through a process that when we all got elected and when we all got hired, we didn't think we would be in. So I think we're all going to try to do what is best for the children of our community and for our community as a whole and keeping everybody safe. As far as administrative versus policy decisions, I think that's always there's always going to be a couple of times where you maybe err on one side versus the other. I think most of the time we get that right. I think this is a healthy conversation for us to have. And I'm honestly looking forward to what the next step is here. And I have to tell you that I'm not exactly sure what it is, whether it is a separate conversation that we have yet again as a council with Mr. Rose and Mr. Dunkel, whether the members of the Park Commission assist us with this, whether we look at the surrounding community. Some of this may already have been done, but I do understand that I think a decision on this has to be made sooner rather than later, because I do remember that part of my childhood. It is getting to be the season where we are getting ready to hit the fields. And so we couldn't have said that last week, but we can say that this week. So I do think that probably, Mr. Rose, we probably need to come up with at least a timeline for both a discussion and for when decisions need to be made. And candidly, we may not all like it. I think that's going to be just judging by the comments tonight. But I think we've got to come up with a pathway forward so our citizens know what their options are for their kids. Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. And I would say, it's in conclusion for me anyway, whatever changes were made, perhaps insurance, I don't know, perhaps insurance is standard. If it was not enforced in the past, without notification that this is happening, I think does put our community at a disadvantage. If they went into this with the same expectation of the past, that can be an expectation going forward, but I think perhaps in this circumstance, given everything else is happening, we offer some grace. If that's not been an expectation in the past for this year, I think certainly we offer some grace, perhaps as it relates to the waivers as well. Those things that are viewed by our citizens as impediments to doing very good work. I mean, clearly we have to protect the city. But again, the contrast, you can go across 170 and rent a field and you can't in your own hometown, I think is unsettling to folks in our community. So to the mayor's point, we got to make a decision on this. And so I don't know if I don't know how that's revisited, perhaps through the Parks Commission, but we've got to do something rather quickly. And I think, again, extending grace to our community in this moment, I think, is really important.
I know Ms. Klein and Mr. Smotherson have their hands up, but I also believe Mr. McMahon had his hand up and he has not had a bite of the apple yet.
Yeah, I thank you, Mayor. I was just going to say, I get all the points, and this is always what it boils down to, is balancing interests. I'm concerned with some of the comments that we receive. It seems like every requirement that we put is in place, they want waived. And if we're waiving insurance requirements and then we waive waiver requirements, we end up, what's our protection? We haven't protected the city. We've just said, we'll cover you no matter what happens if there's a lawsuit. I mean, maybe signing a waiver, but waiving insurance requirements, but you got to balance it somewhere. But just to say, we're just giving up on everything. I think we need to have a little more discussion than that. And but it does need to happen sooner than later. So we need to get some kind of direction where we're going to head on that, because I would like to have the residents, as the mayor said, know what they can expect and what we're going to do next, so that we can balance all these interests out.
I believe, and again, Tim, I didn't see a hand up, so I'm going to come over to Mr. I'm not sure whether it's Mr. Smotherson. I don't know how many bites everybody's had.
Ms. Klein.
Well, I just like a little more clarification with the insurance thing, because my, based on some of the citizen comments, is that, you know, the teams have insurance. Yes, they have to have insurance, but this is a further requirement that that is specific to COVID-19 that may not be needed to cover the city. It may be superfluous. That we don't need that. So I'd like further clarification on that, legal clarification. And then also in terms of the waivers, I think part of my understanding is part of the problem is that, you know, with our high schools and our school sports teams, that it would not only be our students that would need waivers, but anybody that they play in U City would need a waiver as well. And that's prohibitive to us being able to play sports in our own city. So we couldn't have home games because the schools couldn't ask for that requirement from other teams. So that's another issue that I think needs to be figured out.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Klein, with regards to the waiver, the only thing that we are attempting to do is to immunize, that's a pretty good one, immunize the city against a lawsuit that someone says you organization didn't follow the county's guidelines, so we're going to sue you. And because we have not signed a waiver, we're going to sue the city as well. So in the one instance where it's a city-sponsored activity, we can control whether we comply with the county guidelines or not. When we lease a field, we're not always able to do that. But secondly, and I'll let Mr. Dunkel speak to this, as it relates to the insurance requirements, my understanding is our requirements have not changed, but Mr. Dunkel will correct me if I'm in the error. Mr. Dunkel?
Yeah, Mr. Rose, Mayor Crow, members of council. On the insurance requirements really are not related to COVID. Insurance requirements in most municipalities are a standard across the board of anyone, organizations utilizing facilities for special events, sports, all those sort of things. It's a standard practice. And I'm not a lawyer, but maybe the lawyers in the room could answer this, but the city is liable up to a certain amount that is established by the state of Missouri. If we don't require insurance, the city, my understanding, is required up to those limits to pay for that. So this is a standard thing that most municipalities require. Like I said, abusers of facilities, contractors, any of those sort of things that saves and protects the city.
Honorable Mayor and council members, if it's acceptable to you, I would like for the next step to be to forward this to the Parks Commission so that they could weigh in and provide you with a recommendation on perhaps that balance between protecting the city and allowing some level of recognizing that, you know, this is new for some of the organizations.
I agree with that too. And Greg, the other thing I'm going to say, just a little, not quite pushback, but at least want to say, I have found that if we're going to wait for a regularly scheduled Park Commission meeting, and then the Park Commission is going to come back either to you or to council, then you are definitely, we're pushing this baby pretty far down the road for the parents and for the kids. That's the only part that worries me, is there probably is a little bit of time sensitivity. And I think part of this is also that outside pressure where they're hearing what the other communities are doing, and it's probably getting a little bit frustrated. I recognize that all the communities are not going to be they're not going to be consistent on this. In our particular case, I would honestly say to you that if we were going to ask the Park Commission to chime in on this, I think we need to make a request that they have a meeting sooner rather than later. And then I think, judging by the interest of all of my colleagues in this subject, I think if we are going to participate in this, and I still say the word if we're going to participate in this, then we need to be flexible and call a meeting as well, because it's not like we all have to get together in the room. We're doing this by computer, and we don't even all have to be in the same place in the same state, for God's sakes. So I just think we need to probably find a way to give clarity, whether whether it's an up or a down, or however, as Steve said, the balancing of interest. I think we've got to give clarity sooner rather than later.
I was just going to say, if it's acceptable to you, I'll have Mr. Dunkel reach out to the chair and make that request for a special meeting with this one agenda item so that it can be expedited.
And I apologize that I know that Mr. Hales raised his hand. I think Ms. Klein has already spoken. Mr. Smotherson, did you have another comment?
Well, just one more thing, and that is, and what I stated in the beginning is that I'm hoping that the City Manager Rose and Mr. Dunkel look into getting somebody to handle the administrative duties of signing up kids for baseball in U City, so that we don't miss that opportunity, because that's just administrative. It's not anything that's COVID affected necessarily. But my point is, let's not miss the opportunity to make sure we have baseball in U City, if possible, this summer. That's all. I just want to make sure that that's the case.
Okay. Mr. Hales.
I just wanted to echo what you said, Mayor Crow. I think that is, it is important that this get done quickly. And I was going to make the same suggestion of getting together. It's pretty easy in this format. So thank you for making that.
Yeah. And frankly, I would even say I feel for the limitations of staff, but I'm happy if the Park Commission meets on a Monday and we meet on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, just so it kind of rolls through. To me, I think that the key for all of us still, what we've always said for such a long time, is all of us have our community's best interest at heart. We've got to find a way where we balance the balancing of interest for everybody, and find a path forward. So I appreciate that. I appreciate this being brought up to council for a conversation tonight. And I appreciate Gregory and Darren having responses and clarifications for us. And I look forward to us bringing this matter to a successful conclusion in the very near term. If there's nothing else on this item, I would like to move forward so that we can move on. I think we have a rather extensive closed session. So I would like to, are there any council comments to be made by my colleagues this evening? Mr. Clay.
I simply have one. Thank you, Mayor Crow. I was pleased to celebrate in a COVID-appropriate way the 101st birthday of Mother Pearl Shelton, who lives on Mendel. She's been a U City resident for 20 years and, again, 101 years of life. And she's still going strong, and we did a caravan, if you will. Cars were decorated with happy birthday and lots of waving. And those who were closest to her went in, and I waved at the door and had a nice chat with her. So happy birthday, Mother Pearl Shelton, 101 years.
Thank you. And happy birthday, I think, from all of your colleagues as well to her.
Yes.
Any other council comments? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communications between that body and its representatives or attorney. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cousett?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. The ayes have it. To all the members of the public, we thank you for joining us this evening. To my colleagues, I have that it is 7:26. How about we start the executive session as close to 7:30 as we can? Thank you.
All right.